This is Agriculture Today.
Farm equipment sales in August showing sharply diverging trends across North America. That's according to new data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Canadian combine sales surging 52.2% compared to 1 year ago leaves year-to-date totals up 2.3%. But in contrast, U.S. combine sales dropped 34.6% for the month, now down more than 42% year over year. Tractor sales in the U.S. also down 8.2% year over year, with particularly steep declines in the 100-plus horsepower and four-wheel drive segments that are essential for row crop producers. Kurt Blades is Senior Vice President with AEM, describes Canada's numbers as a bright spot, but emphasized U.S. farmers remain cautious about major capital purchases. Persistent challenges include tight margins, trade uncertainty, elevated input costs, and high interest rates that's delaying equipment upgrades on many operations. And while the industry hopes for stabilization as harvest advances, ongoing weakness could push back fleet replacements and ripple into farm service and parts demand. Now, farm tariffs are reshaping U.S. ag trade, raising both challenges and opportunities for farmers. According to Ag America Lending, U.S. farm trade deficit hit $28.6 billion in the first half of this year. And though USDA projects a narrower $47 billion deficit for this year, further improvement is expected in 2026. Now, tariffs are pushing up input cost, with fertilizer prices rising $100 per ton, machinery costs climbing on steel and parts duties. But not all commodities are affected equally. Flexible row crops like corn and soybeans can adjust more easily than permanent operations like orchards or dairies. China remains the largest concern after cutting U.S. ag imports in half and turning to South America for soybeans, while Brazil faces steep U.S. tariffs that could shift its products toward China. Canada and Mexico facing less severe changes under the USMCA trade agreement, but still see uncertainty, while new U.S. agreements with Japan, Indonesia, and Australia opening fresh markets for rice, soybeans, dairy, and beef. And livestock economist Dr. David Anderson at Texas A&M says rising productivity explains how U.S. beef production remains strong despite the smallest cow herd since 1961. Beef production per cow has climbed from 629 pounds in 2000 to 725 just last year, largely driven by heavier dressed weights rather than calving rate improvements. Per beef cow only, output soared from 166 pounds 24 years ago to 966 pounds in 2024. In pork, productivity surging even faster, with production per sow up 52% since 2000. Gains came from more pigs per litter, more litters per year, and heavier hog weights. Average pigs per litter rose from 8.8 in 2000 to nearly 11.8 just last year. Dressed weights climbed to 212 pounds. Disease events have slowed progress, but the long-term trend remains higher. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Well, there's a whole host of minerals that make it on the list.
Hunter Carpenter is Senior Director of Public Policy with the Ag Retailers Association. Talks about an updated list by the U.S. Geological Survey.
Phosphate, we think, was overlooked, and they modeled raw rock, raw phosphate rock, but did not include processed phosphates, which would include phosphoric acid and other, ammoniated fertilizer products that are used with phosphate. So there are a number of different trade shock models that underestimate what the risks of sudden export bans would be and certain price spikes that we would see in the markets. So we're adding, requesting that they add phosphate to this critical minerals list and make sure that they explicitly cover both phosphate rock and phosphoric acid and ammoniated phosphate. So, I would also hope that they would update some of these disruption models to reflect some of these price shocks. The bottom line is excluding phosphate misrepresents some of the U.S. vulnerabilities. Like potash, phosphate is indispensable for soil fertility, for crop yields, for affordable food. Recognizing it as a critical mineral is vital to protect U.S. farmers, consumers, and our national security.
And when we're talking about critical minerals, Department of Interior oversees much of the domestic supply.
Secretary Doug Burgum at the Department of Interior is above not only the department, but all of its different acronyms and the different programs there. So at the end of the day, the president and his cabinet members oversee a lot of these regulations. They have folks that really know what they're doing on experts in geology that work on these issues. Who have forgotten more about phosphate than I'll ever know. But representing the ag retail industry and our grower customers, I want to do everything I can to help affect a positive change for their economic outlook. Again, protect their freedom to operate and their business and also their grower. If the grower is not profitable, the ag retailer is not going to be profitable. So we have to make every policy decision here at our association about what's good for the grower, what's good for the dealer. So that is really what informs our policy priorities throughout the year. So we have been engaged with folks in the administration, want to continue to make our voice heard and speak up for agriculture. We have a number of other associations and companies that are weighing in on this issue. So I think there's going to be a loud, cohesive voice in the ag industry asking for both potash and phosphate to be included, and cautiously optimistic that that'll get done.
This will be one of the topics of the upcoming Ag Retailers Association's annual conference.
You can come see us at the ARA Conference and Expo, the Grand American Hotel in Salt Lake City, December 2nd through the 4th. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have your listeners join us. It's a great opportunity to network, to attend, to hear some of the great keynote speakers that we have lined up this year. You can go to aradc.org and click on the conference tab to learn more. It's also a great opportunity to see other folks in the industry and learn about some of the trends that are happening. It's a great event. I'm in my 11th year now at ARA, and this is our first cold weather spot. So I'm really looking forward to it, especially as a kid that grew up in Mississippi. I particularly like some of the pretty winter scenes around Christmas time. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Let's go back 15 years ago, the Great Recession, when we bailed out a car company.
Chairman of the Joint Economic Committee in Congress, Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
And yes, we were saving jobs, except for long-run economic growth, there's some brilliant papers have been written saying after a couple of years, you would have had the same number of jobs, and you would have had three or four creative, smaller, innovative car companies. This one doing electric, this one doing sports cars, this one doing... That's actually how creative destruction works in economies. It's like a phoenix. It's the rebirth. And when you stop that rebirth from happening, you don't get to clean out the legacy headwinds, the things that are slowing down the innovation. You basically perpetuate the inefficiencies. And it doesn't make you popular telling the truth, but we all know this. Should we have bailed out Blockbuster Video 15 years ago? Because every neighborhood, there are tens of thousands of people who work for Blockbuster. Should we have put Netflix out of business? Should we have slowed down the internet? Should we have stopped the revolution of technology that you go home now and hit a button? You say, that's absurd, David. No, it's the same sort of concept. Should government have stepped in and stopped innovation? We've done entire presentations here where you talk about the morality of cures. If diabetes is 33% of all U.S. healthcare, should we spend more money on helping people maintain their misery? Yeah, probably. But should we spend what's necessary to cure the disease? What would be the economic impact? There's a brilliant study from a couple of years ago talking about maybe one of the leading, if not the leading contributor to income inequality in America is actually health. Except we'll get lobbied by groups that are upset saying, but if you cure the disease, what happens to my business model? This is how perverse this place has become. Where's the passion? Where's the vision? Where's the innovation? Where's the optimism? Look, I'm 63. My wife is 63. I have a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old. The 9-year-old is remarkably loud. Yeah, we're blessed. We were able to adopt. It's the most greatest joy in life. Mathematically, my children will be part of the first generation that's going to be poorer than their parents. That's the American ethos now. The American ethic is we're going to make our kids and our grandkids poor because we want stuff. This is what we've become. Because we're so damn afraid to do things that are hard around here? Look, 10 weeks ago, when we were doing the big, beautiful bill, part of my deal was, Mr. Speaker, I don't like some of the things that are in here, but I really want to offer legislation to pay for it. Because I think there's some elegant things we could do to offset. And the deal was, okay, go ahead. See if you can get anyone to sponsor it and vote for it. So we've been chasing for over a year, and you go read the Wall Street Journal articles, go read the MedPAC report, the amount of fraud, waste, misalignment, and some of it's perfectly legal misalignment. We're the idiots that screwed up the law in Medicare Part C. Or what I was talking about a little while ago, cash that's been sitting in accounts for years that could be sweep that we're paying interest on. Or, and this number is getting bigger, a talent-based immigration system. We educate people and we send them home to compete with us. And the president's golden visas. It came into over $3 trillion of savings. We wrote the bills. We had PhD economists help us model them and get our numbers right. We got a preliminary number from CBO that the Medicare Advantage modernization saves $1.8 trillion, making it the single biggest savings bill in U.S. history. Mr. Speaker, guess how many co-sponsors we have? Zero. Zero. Because it's hard, it's complicated, it's difficult to explain, but it's really good policy. There are solutions. Tough enough.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Make America Healthy Commission released its Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy with more than 120 initiatives addressing childhood health. Brian Glenn, American Farm Bureau Federation Director of Government Affairs, was encouraged that the commission listened to American farmers.
The report includes a renewed focus on American-grown fresh fruits, vegetables, and meat, and it includes reintroducing whole milk into the school meal programs, all of which can help provide a foundation for a lifetime of smart choices. The report highlights efforts to prioritize voluntary conservation efforts for farmers and ranchers. And the report includes recommendations to optimize EPA's already robust pesticide regulatory process, which will help accelerate innovation.
Glenn says the report is simply one step in a long process for the MAHA Commission and for America's farmers and ranchers.
The report includes policy recommendations for several different government agencies to carry out. So it is very important for farmers and ranchers to continue to have a seat at the table to ensure this is done in a transparent process that includes input from agriculture.
Glenn says it's very important that farmers and ranchers continue to fully engage with policymakers to tell the story of how agriculture helps make America healthy.
Our food system has evolved and innovated over time to provide healthy and nutritious food to meet the diverse needs and preferences of American families. And we look forward to further innovations to improve health outcomes in America while ensuring farmers and ranchers can stock America's pantries.
The latest net farm income forecast from USDA's Economic Research Service predicts farm income to increase in 2025. However, Barrett Nelson, an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says it's important to look at the data beyond just the top line numbers.
Net farm income is forecast at $179.8 billion for this year. This is an increase of $52 billion, or about 41% from last year. Most of this increase comes from government payments, which are forecast to be $40.5 billion of that total of $179 billion. This is an increase of about 300% from where it was last year.
Nelson says the report paints a picture of two very different farm economies.
Cash receipts from crop sales are forecast to fall by 2.5%, to $236.6 billion, in addition to USDA adjusting February's earlier estimate for crop receipts down by $17 billion. So if this were realized, this would be the lowest since 2007. On the other side of this, receipts for animals and animal products are forecast to increase by 11% to just shy of $300 billion. Most of this is from higher prices for cattle and eggs. This would be record high for this category.
One of the highlights of the report to Nelson was farm debt and the interest paid on that debt.
Total farm sector debt is forecast to increase by $28.3 billion to $591.8 billion in 2025. This is an increase of almost 20% since 2022 when the Fed started raising their interest rates to combat inflation. Interest paid to service that debt is forecast to rise by $1.6 billion this year. Now, this lays out just how fragile the farm financial situation really is right now.
Mike Davis, Washington.
Thanks, Mike. You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Well, I think as we just look over all of ag, but certainly sorghum's a part of that, we see today the use of the word crisis. And it's been a long time since I've heard that word in agriculture. And I think we look at the economics, it's easy to understand why.
Tim Lust is CEO of the National Sorghum Producers.
And I think for our commodity in particular, when we look at where we're at from a market standpoint, you know, it's a challenge. We certainly appreciate all the work that's been going in to try to create new markets. It's something that we really need is new access and new markets and more diversity. But the reality is our exports are down 97% to China this year. And that's a significant amount that's certainly hurting where we stand today from a price standpoint.
So what is the industry doing?
You know, I just continue to work with the administration, continue to work with Congress, you know, and really lay out that need. I mean, sorghum's always had a very positive story. We've always been a part of our trade deficit solution, normally export $1 to $2 billion worth of sorghum around the world. And so when we look at not only what does that mean to sorghum, but what's it mean to elevators and elevator infrastructure? And as we've seen the loss of a number of elevators between Lubbock and Amarillo, we know how critical that infrastructure is. And when we look at what it does to trucking and what it does to shipping. And so we know that it has an impact throughout. And just, trying to continue to point out, the challenges that we have, as a sorghum industry and at the farm level. And continue to work with the administration and Congress to find those opportunities and those answers to get us back on a trade plane that we're more used to.
Now, the U.S. sorghum crop forecast 9.94 million metric tons. That's up nearly 14% from last year. And despite strong production, domestic demand projected to fall by almost 25%, relying now heavily on exports.
Some of our analysis may be 23% bigger crop than last year, and that is a blessing as we've had rains over most of the sorghum belt and have that. But, yeah, that just means several more million metric tons of product that we need to find a home for. Certainly the domestic biofuel ethanol industry, has been a real blessing. You know, it's also about those other opportunities and how we continue to make that move forward. So we've seen a few food aid, bids, but you know, there's been a lot of back and forth on food aid. And so a lot of uncertainty there. Certainly we've seen some exports pick up with Mexico, still, relatively small amount compared to the solve that we have of the number of bushels that we need to go away.
So what can producers be doing?
Appreciate all the farmers that did visit with elected officials over August break. And I know I've heard back from them that, you know, they heard the message. And that's what I would just say is to continue to voice that message of the economic challenges that are there. And the realities on the farm, and specifically as it ties to sorghum and markets.
And this is Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The entire world is getting really nervous about long-term debt.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert is the chairman of the Joint Economic Committee in Congress.
Ray Dalio, the billionaire, has been giving speeches around the country. He even wrote a book saying you got a math problem. The entire industrialized world basically is at zero to negative population growth. They have our brothers and sisters who have gotten older that are moving into their pension years, their health care years. Where's the savings to keep financing all these governments that are borrowing? And his argument is there's not enough savings for all the borrowing. And then you get the idiot goes, well, we'll just print the money. Of course you will. And then called that, what's that thing called? Oh, yeah, inflation. And you debase the currency. So, yes, you pay for it with inflated dollars, but everything you have becomes, your savings becomes worth less. You make real estate and things more expensive so the next generation can't buy a house. We're basically, it's an economic term. Oh, yeah, we're screwing over the next generation and maybe our own retirements by not telling the truth about the math. And it doesn't have to be dystopian. There's ways to deal with this stuff. We just don't have a lot more time. And look, we have something called the Sunset Act. We've been looking at regulations, control, command and control that are woven through the economy, particularly post-Biden administration, where they regulated at breakneck speed. And they're up for review. They need to be modernized. And part of the question is, if you're going to regulate air quality, do you do it the same way you did 30 years ago? When you actually have remote sensors that can be in your pocket, or do you need the $1 million a year tower to do it where you look at the entire marketplace? The fact of the matter is there's better, faster, cheaper ways and much more elegant, and you get the bad actors. And we've actually done some economic modeling, and it turns out we can actually add a real pop to GDP growth, the size of the economy. And GDP growth is important because that's actually your living standard. When we grow, you live better. And it turns out it's not deregulation, it's smart regulation. Find this bureaucratic control of economic growth, and let's just review them. Say, should we still do it the same way we did it 20 years ago? And yet, here, let me give a conceptual. Year and a half ago, met with a company, Phoenix-based, that's actually building a ginormous drone, and they intend to do ground-penetrating radar underneath this drone. And let's say you want to build a pipeline or a road. They're going to fly it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and penetrate the ground and see if are there archaeological, is there geological issues, these things. And at the end of the week, they claimed the AI, the artificial intelligence, can write the entire environmental and engineering report. What would have taken people to go out and walk the site a couple years? Now, we've already been being lobbied by, we're the archaeological guild, we're the a geological guild, we're this and that, because we don't want to be replaced by the technology, so it should take 2 years. But we're going to do permitting reform saying we want to do it in half the time, so we're going to have these people walk twice as fast. That's the way this brain around here works. We're just going to make it so they walk twice as fast. Are we out of our minds? But yet that technology is not in the code yet. We have not legalized saying I can let AI, even though they claim the statistics of it would be more accurate than humans out walking the site. We can do things dramatically faster. There's a great article, I think it may have been an Economist or a Financial Times a couple of days ago, that was making the point, China has become a country of engineers. We've become a country of lawyers. Why does it take us so long to build something? Why does it take us so long to do the things that would make us more prosperous? Sort of becomes obvious in that one line. We're a country of lawyers. Our competitors are countries of engineers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
When you raise dry land cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dry land acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.